You're listening to Pastor Stephen G. Lightfoot's podcast, Sermons and Homilies by the Reverend Stephen G. Lightfoot. Pastor Stephen is an ordained elder in the Global Methodist Church and serves as senior pastor to First Methodist Church Splendora and Shepherd Methodist Church in Southeast Texas. Here is today's episode. So I wanted to spend some time in Corinthians this morning, and as I read Corinthians and got ready for this Sunday morning, it occurred to me that all of the readings for this morning tie so beautifully together, I can't just pick one, so I'm going to talk a little bit about all of them. So buckle in for the next hour and 40 minutes or so, and no, I promise I won't spend that long. I'm not going to dwell on any one of them. I just want to point out that this fellowship that you and I are engaged in here as the congregation of First Methodist Church Splendora, this fellowship requires that we pay attention to one another. Isn't that an interesting concept? Fellowship requires that we pay attention to one another. You know, I have to use myself as an example, because sometimes, and Angela will tell you this is true, I don't always pay attention.
Oh,
and it's true. I don't want to call us out as men, but I think this is by and large part of our traits as the male of the species. Well, it is what it is. Has anyone, for example, has anyone ever said something to you and you missed it? I'm speaking to everyone, but guys, has anyone ever been talking to you for a minute or so or even longer, and then you suddenly realize that they were speaking to you? Yeah. They're looking at you expectantly, waiting for you to respond, and you have absolutely no idea what they said or even how to respond to them. This is our ongoing struggle. I've probably mentioned this more than once, one time or another, but Angela will tell you that generally I miss the first minute of almost every conversation we ever have.
Sometimes more.
Well, and in my defense, my brain takes at least that long for me to disengage from one thought stream. Let me know if you're like this. Man, I could use some support up here. It takes me a little while to disengage from one thought stream to realize that I now need to activate my hearing center in my brain, refocus my thoughts on the words that Angela is saying, and then allow my brain to engage with her conversation. And all of that, with the gears whirring and clicking and buttons being pushed inside my head, takes a while to get up to speed. Am I the only one? Help me out, Gene. Okay. And so Angela often says to me that I miss the first minute of our conversations. And unfortunately for me, those conversations usually begin with a question or two. Right. And so now I'm caught in this place where I realize she's talking to me. I realize a question has been asked, but I don't know what the question is. And therefore, I don't know how to respond. And so I just stare blankly, like, I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do with my hands. Right. I don't know how to respond. And that's when she says, "Why don't you ever listen?" Right? Yes. It's not just me. I know it's not. Some of you are sitting there like little saints and trying to get your halo to come on, but I know it's not going to, because you're just like me, men. I always tell her this is part of our ongoing struggle. She knows it is. And so she needs to get my attention before she begins speaking to me to make sure that I'm listening. I always say that. You have to get my attention first. And the truth is, I could be more in tune to my immediate surroundings, less absorbed in thought. But it seems that I'm wired this way. And so if you have something important to say to me, make sure that you have my attention first. And it's no different in the fellowship hall here on Sunday mornings. I'm usually processing a lot of information before worship service, running through things in my head, trying to tune in to the leading of the Holy Spirit. And so there are times when it takes me a minute or two to catch up with people as they engage me in conversation. I'm not trying to be rude or unattentive. This is not an excuse. It's just an explanation. Make sure that you've got my attention before you say anything important to me. Because if you say the important stuff right up front, I'm going to miss it. And then I'll have to ask, what? I'm sorry? And then you'll say, why don't you listen? And I'll say, go ask Angela. She'll tell you. All of that is the preface to what's going on in our scripture readings this morning. You see, Isaiah has something important to tell us. And so he starts the conversation with us by first getting us to put our full attention on him. He says, listen to me, O coastlands. Pay attention, you peoples from far away. See, he wants your attention. Isaiah, the prophet of God, is trying to get your attention this morning. He knows that people, all of us, are deeply immersed in everyday life. And we might miss the message God has for us if we don't devote all of our attention this morning on what Isaiah has from God for you. God has some important news he wants us to hear and understand. Are you with me? Turn to your neighbor and say, pay attention. Turn to your other neighbor and say, pay attention. Pay attention. Listen to what Isaiah says. Listen to me, O coastlands. Pay attention, you peoples from far away. The Lord called me before I was born. While I was in my mother's womb, he named me. He made my mouth like a sharp sword. Some of us more than others. He made our mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand, he hid me. He made me a polished arrow. In his quiver, he hid me away. And he said to me, you are my servant, Israel, in whom I will be glorified. But I said, I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for nothing and for vanity. Yet surely my cause is with the Lord and my reward with my God. And now the Lord says, who formed me in the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him, and that Israel might be gathered to him? For I am honored in the sight of the Lord, and my God has become my strength. He says, it is too light a thing that you should be my servant, to raise up the tribes of Jacob, and to restore the survivors of Israel. I will give you as a light to the nations, that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. Thus says the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel and his Holy One, to one deeply despised, abhorred by the nations, the slave of rulers, kings shall see and stand up, princes, and they shall prostrate themselves because of the Lord who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel, who has chosen you. What is Isaiah's news? So now that he has our undivided attention, what is Isaiah trying to tell us here that is so very important? Well, for starters, he's telling us that we are called. You and I are called to do God's work in the building up of the kingdom of God. You are called to the work. And we have this big task ahead of us, proclaiming Jesus Christ to all the nations, making disciples of them, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them everything they need to know to be active citizens of the kingdom of God. And that's a huge responsibility that we have, church. And we need to pay attention so that we know how to get it done. We're called, Isaiah says. Called from our mother's womb. Called before we were born to be kingdom workers, to be apostles, to be heralds, to be teachers, to be disciplers. We were called to do this work. So if we look at our epistle this morning from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul says that he is called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. The thing we need to take from that simple statement from the apostle Paul is that we as the church are also called. We are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints together with all those who in every place call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is both their Lord and ours. See, we have this fellowship together as Christians. Fellowship is one of those words that if we're not careful, we'll take it for granted. We are called to be in fellowship with one another as Christians. Now, we're not only called, we're also equipped. God didn't call us and then leave us to our own devices. Thanks be to God, right? Not only called, but also equipped. Paul says that we are called, but not only called, also equipped. He says, I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that has been given you in Christ Jesus. For in every way you have been enriched in him, in speech and knowledge of every kind, just as the testimony of Christ has been strengthened among you, so that you are not lacking in any spiritual gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ. He will also strengthen you to the end, so that you may be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful. By him you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. See, it's a great thing to be called into service by God, is it not? But it's also all the more great to be equipped through Jesus Christ and empowered by the Holy Spirit to carry out our calling. Called is great. Called and equipped is better. Turn to somebody and say, I am called. Turn to somebody else and say, and I am equipped. You are called and equipped to do what God is asking you to do. God's given us everything we need to accomplish our mission here for the kingdom. He's called us and he's equipped us. So if he's called us and equipped us, are you ready for the questions? There's always questions. You have the mission. You have the calling. You have the equipment. You have all the tools you need. You have the support of Christ the King. The question is, are you using what you've been given? It's a big question. There's a few more questions to go along. There's always more than one. Am I focusing my full attention on learning the Word of God? Do I fully understand the mission I'm tasked with in that Word? Is it possible that I need to learn more? Is it my priority to share the good news of Jesus and salvation? Do I know enough about my faith to express it to someone else? Am I fully trained and fully equipped? Am I ready for the task I have been given? That's a lot of questions. Those questions are designed to look inside yourself. Because if the answer to any of those is, no, I don't think I am, then you have some work to do. If you honestly ask and answer those questions, most of us probably will come to the realization that there is indeed more to learn, that more attention could probably be paid, and that our priorities might not always be in order. We might figure out that we have really only scratched the surface of our faith, only stuck our toe in the water of our calling. But there's something you need to know about this fellowship that you're a part of. The support you need is here and available. The strength of Jesus is here for you. The Word of God is free for you to open and to read. The opportunities for you to learn and discuss with other believers is available to you right here in appropriately named the Fellowship Hall. Wednesday nights, 5:45. That's a commercial. It's here for you. Are you taking advantage of that opportunity to get deeper into God's Word and to equip yourself for the ministry to which you have been called? You have at your fingertips all you ever need to know if you will but look and listen and pay attention and be faithful in your fellowship. It's a simple concept. Meeting together as the church equips you for mission and ministry. Fellowship is equipping. And it's amazing what we can see when we just take time to look and pay attention. If we'll only open our eyes to it, look at it, listen for it, pay attention to it. I want to talk a minute on our gospel lesson that Amy read for us this morning. We all need to be fully engaged with that message. We all need to be fully focused on it this morning. It's the gospel of John, the first chapter, beginning at verse 29, going through verse 42. That's where you find it. And here we see John the Baptist and his followers are looking and watching in fellowship together. See, we didn't invent fellowship. It came much earlier in the church. Through their fellowship together, John and his disciples, John the Baptist and his disciples, they're paying attention. And because they're paying attention, this is what they see. And it's recorded here, not by John the Baptist, it's recorded here by John, the disciple of Jesus. And he says, the next day, John the Baptist saw Jesus coming toward him and declared, because he was paying attention, he declared, here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. I don't know about you, but that's paying attention. This is he of whom I said, John the Baptist says, after me comes a man who ranks ahead of me, because he was before me. I myself did not know him, but I came baptizing with water for this reason, that he might be revealed to Israel. And John testified, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water said to me, he on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I myself have seen and have testified that this is the Son of God. See, John the Baptizer was paying attention. He was in fellowship with his disciples, and they were doing the work of the kingdom. And because they were engaged in that fellowship, they were equipped, and they recognized the Christ when he showed up. The next day, John again was standing with two of his disciples, and as he watched Jesus walk by, he exclaimed, "Look, here is the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. When Jesus turned and saw them following, he said to them, "What are you looking for?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which translated means teacher, "where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and see." And they came and saw where he was staying, and they remained with him that day. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated anointed. He brought Simon to Jesus, who looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You are to be called Cephas," which is translated Peter. The disciples who were with John the Baptist, in fellowship with him, were paying attention. When John said, "This is the Lamb of God," they left the discipleship of John the Baptist. Didn't hurt his feelings one bit, by the way. And they followed Jesus. And they brought others to Jesus to be disciples because they were paying attention. Oh, that we would pay attention well enough to recognize the Lamb of God whenever he presents himself to us. Oh, that we would be so mentally, emotionally, and spiritually engaged in faithful fellowship with one another and with Jesus, and we would see Jesus when he shows up in our midst and respond to him appropriately. Oh, that we would see Jesus in those who cross our paths on a daily basis. That we would recognize Jesus in the least and the lost, in the broken and the downtrodden, and that we would respond to them as if we were responding to Jesus Christ himself. Because when it comes right down to it, if we were paying attention to Jesus's words, we would know that when we respond to the least of his people with love and compassion and attention, we are in fact responding to Jesus Christ himself. Oh, that we would see him and hear him and pay attention to him just like that. That we would be faithful in our fellowship with one another so that we would all be equipped to serve him faithfully as his disciples. See, fellowship is equipping. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. Come back again next week for a new message. And until then, may God bless you and keep you.